I certainly have enjoyed the good singing tonight. I tell you, that's a blessing. Amen. I love good singing. Good gospel singing. Singing about Jesus. And Brother Kerrigan was talking about what he said before I came up here, you know, and about what Jesus went through and the difficulties. But you know what? I believe this, and I've seen this in my own life. If it's easy, God's probably not in it. I mean, that's just a simple observance, but if it's smooth and easy, it's probably not the will of God. Spirituality is not like sin. Sin will take the path of least resistance. You don't have to even put much effort forth to be a sinner. I mean, you just kind of go with the current. You just kind of go with the flow. But now spirituality is going upstream. Spirituality is not going the path of least resistance. It's going in the path of opposition. That's right. You can count on it. The devil will not fight you when you're going backwards. You really don't need a piece of armor on your back. Because why would the devil shoot you in the back and you retreat him? He would encourage that. He wants you to run backwards, retreat, leave, and go backwards. Amen. But backwards is not our direction. Somebody said, "Preacher, I'd testify, but I'm backwards. I'd shout, but I'm backwards. I would do a lot of things spiritual, but I'm backwards." I said, backwards is not your disposition. Backwards is your direction. That's right. You'll get that in a minute. That'll get on you about midnight tonight. You said, "Preacher, you don't believe people are backwards?" Yeah. But when something big gets in your life, it's bigger than your backwardness. You don't mind talking about what's big to you. You don't mind talking about something big to you. The reason you talk little about Jesus is because He is little. Jesus ever gets big to you, you'll talk about it. Amen. Amen. I guarantee you, they're spoken here tonight. You're backwards, you think, or you say. But you don't mind talking about the Gamecocks or the Tigers or whatever. Amen. I mean, you just have difficulty of talking about one thing. That's spiritual thing. Amen. I don't believe, I'm telling you, I do not believe that a person is so backwards that they never talk about Jesus. I'm talking about a born-again person. I don't believe that. Somewhere, you may not testify every service, and you may not shout, but I'm going to tell you somewhere along the way, and it won't be distant between each other, there'll be something get on you, there'll be something swell up in you, and you'll find yourself getting excited. There'll be some sort of emotions in you about spiritual things. You may not shout, but you may, on the inside, you may just be overwhelmed with joy, and you may just cry, you know. But, amen. But I believe at least occasionally, God's going to get on you to the point that you're going to want to testify. Amen. I believe that myself. That's right. I'm leery about that crowd. Never feels led to testify. Does it bother any pastors in here that it seems like that it's the same few people that does all the singing, teaching, working, testifying? I've seen church services turn upside down when somebody that don't normally do nothing stands up and testifies. Somebody that don't normally sing. So I've got a special. Amen. I know that just devastates some of you to know that when you go to church, God may just possibly want you to do something. I know that's hard to get a hold of. Everybody that goes to church saved ought to be able to pray, "Lord, what do you have me to do?" Amen. I mean, just staying alert helps you preach it. Staying attentive helps you preach it. Saying amen every once in a while helps you preach it. Smiling. "Lord, have mercy." How hard is that? You put a preacher up in front of people that's frowning, it'll kill him. Put a preacher up in front of somebody smiling like last night, and he'll preach a lot longer than he ever has. Help us, Lord. My sister said to me today, she thought that I thought that I was just going to be here one night and preach five nights in one night. No, I'm just kidding. She hinted to that. I just interpreted the rest of it. That's right. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Good crowd tonight. Good crowd underneath the tabernacle tonight. Good to see you. Hope that you come tonight wanting a word from the Lord. I have no doubt in my mind God has given us direction of what He'd have us to preach tonight. And with that in mind, I want you to turn in your Bibles, please, to the book of Acts, chapter number 7, if you would, please. Acts chapter number 7. Acts chapter number 7. Now I want us to begin reading about probably one of my favorite Bible characters, Stephen. What an inspiration. What an example. And with that in mind, I would like to ask you tonight to consider who your role models are. That's not what I'm preaching on. I just felt led to say that. I mean, you're going to live like those you look up to. Those you admire, you will adapt their lifestyle. You will want to look like them. You'll want your hair to look like them. You'll want your attire to look like them. Amen. You're probably going to be looking at their, listening to their music and looking at their movies. And I'm not preaching on this tonight, but this really does bother me. And I don't know, it don't seem to bother too many parents. And I don't see too many preachers it bothers, but it really does bother me that most of the heroes of people in our church, specifically young people, most of the heroes in our church are wicked, ungodly, Jesus-hating people. I want to ask you something, young lady. Why is it that you admire, look up to, and highly esteem, treat, look at as a hero, a successful mentor? Why would you look up to somebody and want to pattern your life after them when they hate the Lord? When they're wicked and they are ungodly, why do you look up to them? When you buy their CDs and their DVDs, you're supporting them. Hello? When you go to the movie house and you pay to watch some of their trashy, ungodly movies, you're supporting their wicked, ungodly lifestyle. What happened to the day? Come on now. What happened to the day when young people admired and looked up to some of the elderly saints in the house of God? What happened to the day when the preacher was a hero to a lot of people? That's right. Hello. You know it's right. Well, I had to get that out of my system. Amen. All right. Chapter number 7. Toward the end of the chapter, let's pick up reading in verse number... let's start down in verse number 54. Coming to the close of Stephen's message. And when they heard these things, of course he's referencing the chapter 7, the long sermon that Stephen preached, the longest, I guess, recorded in the Bible. And the Bible said, and when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart. Where's that kind of preaching at today? Where's the preaching that cuts? Where's the preaching at that challenges? Where's the preaching at today that convicts? No, people don't want that. And because the people don't want that, now we've got pulpits filled with preachers that don't want that. They think it's better to just be go along to get along. Prophesy smooth things. Hide your eyes. Look the other direction. Don't deal with nothing. Tell us stories. And when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart. That's what the Bible says. They were cut to the heart. And they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, Behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears. What does that imply? What does that indicate? I don't want to hear no more. I don't want to hear. So if you are in that category of, I don't want to hear truth, I don't want to hear truthful preaching, then look where you're at. Look what class you're in. And the Bible said there in that verse of scripture, that the Bible said there in verse number 50, where did we get to? 57. Then they cried with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Let's bow for a moment of prayer. Father, we come in Jesus' name. Lord, we do ask you tonight that you will help us. Oh, Lord, how desperately I need your help tonight. Lord, I pray that you will use us tonight for your grand and your great glory. Lord, I pray that you will be magnified here tonight. Bring to my attention things that I need to see and say. Help us in these moments to do what man cannot do in and of himself, but only what we can do with the enablement and the empowering of the Holy Spirit. Lord, you know the needs in the congregation tonight. Help me to get personal with them. Touch me, I pray. Fill me the Spirit. Cleanse me from every sin. And we'll give you thanks for it in Jesus' name. Amen. As I've already stated, Stephen is a great hero. Stephen is a great inspiration to me and should be as well to you. But I find in verse number 58 these words, and they cast him out of the city, and notice this now, and did what? And stoned him. And then verse number 59, the Bible said, and they stoned Stephen. Stoned him. Now, when you consider tonight the size of these stones were large enough to administer death to someone. They were big enough that they would kill somebody. They weren't small. They were large. So when you consider the size of the stones, and then when you consider the fact that there were several of the stones, they weren't just one or two that were throwing stones. There were many throwing the stones. Stones large enough, big enough to take a man's life. And then when you consider not only the size of the stones and the fact that there were several stones, then also when you consider the serious intent behind the stone, they had every intention of killing Stephen. I believe that's very easy to see. Well, in that, with that in mind, when we move to the next verse, I want to tell you the commentary. If you read this and look at this from a natural point of view, a human point of view, an earthly point of view, verse number 60 would not read the way that it reads. If you read this from a natural point, it would not say he kneeled down. It would have said that he was knocked down. But it did not say that he was knocked down. The Bible was careful to say he kneeled down. Now all of the stones said, we're going to knock you down. All of the stoners said, we're going to knock you down. The situation says, we're going to knock you down. The devil behind all of this was saying, we're going to knock you down. You've stood tall too long. But even in this moment, even in the seriousness of this situation, the Bible through the Holy Ghost carefully said, he wasn't knocked down. The Bible said he kneeled down. So I want to preach tonight, if the Lord will help me, on kneel down or knocked down. Kneel down or knocked down. Now if it said he was knocked down, that would have been natural. That would have been natural, amen. But the fact said he kneeled down, that was spiritual. And so when there's a circumstance in your life, and I'm looking at a congregation, I am certain that in your life there are situations tonight, there are circumstances in your life tonight, or will be, has been. Rebecca, are you listening? And I promise you, that you have the option tonight as a saved person of whether you're going to be knocked down or whether you're going to be kneeling down. And there's a big difference. Amen. Amen. That's right. Oh, yes. And as I said last night, and is worth repeating, you don't always choose your circumstances, but you do always choose your what? Condition. Everybody needs to get that. If you just get that one statement, it'll help you in life. You don't always choose your circumstance, but you always choose your condition or your response to it. Amen. So whether you're knocked down or whether you're kneeled down is a matter of choice. Amen. That's right. Oh, yeah. I want us to further show you what I'm talking about tonight, if I could. To be knocked down implies accidental. But to kneel down implies intentional. I like it. To be knocked down implies I didn't mean to. But to kneel down shows I meant to. Amen. Listen, to be knocked down shows that you're choosing to give in and to give up. But to kneel down implies, ladies and gentlemen, that you're choosing to go on. To be knocked down shows that it's something natural. But to be kneeling down shows that it's something spiritual. I thought about this today, Brother Rochester. To be knocked down shows that which is expected. When the storms are raging in your life and the stones are being thrown in your life and things are hurting, things are difficult, it's an expected thing for you to be knocked down. Everybody that's watching your life when you're going through a storm, they are expecting you to be knocked down. Amen. They're expecting you to be knocked down. They're expecting you to be knocked out. They're expecting that. Oh, I like this. But to kneel down shows that it is something unexpected. As they watched one stone, a second stone, a third, fourth, tenth, 20, 30, 40, 50, or ever how many stones make contact with Stephen. They were expecting, and they might even have talked among themselves, he's about down. He's going down. About one more. He's going down. Yeah, about one more lick and she'll be down. Yeah, I about got them. They can't take much of that. They were expecting them to go down. Are you listening? Some of you are going through things right now, and really there's an expectation around you. Yep, that got them. That got them. About one more lick, one more stone, and they'll be out of business. To be knocked down shows the will of the stoners. But to kneel down shows the will of Stephen. You've got a will in this matter of whether your circumstance is going to knock you down or whether you're going to respond by kneeling down. To be knocked down shows you to be a victim. But to kneel down shows you to be a victor. To be knocked down shows that you are out of control. That it shows that you... Listen. For you to be knocked down comes from without. But for you to kneel down, that comes from within. You know why you don't kneel down in a circumstance that's serious and severe and hurtful? Because you're lacking on the inside. It's not how severe it is on the outside. It's what's lacking on the inside. Remember last night we quoted to you and preached a little bit about Proverbs 24:10. If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. You don't faint because of the adversity. You faint because your strength is small. If you kneel down, it's because of what's in you is greater than what's outside of you. Amen. To be kneeling down, ladies and gentlemen, would magnify the bigness of those against you. But when you kneel down, you're magnifying the bigness of the one that is for you. Woo! To be knocked down is based on feelings. But to kneel down is based on faith. Amen. To be knocked down shows fleshly weakness. But to kneel down shows spiritual strength. I want to ask you tonight, in your situation, are you going to kneel down? Or are you going to be knocked down? Everybody in here tonight knows somebody that was in camp meeting last year that's not even in church tonight. What happened? Did they experience a severity of a circumstance? Did they go through a difficulty? What was it? No doubt. But what happened was they let the outward get bigger than the inward. They let the situation get bigger than the spiritual. Amen. They focus more on the stoners and the stones than they do the Savior. Oh, I'm telling you, just because there's stones and just because there's opposition and just because there's difficulty, that is no reason. That is no excuse. That is no release for you to say, okay, I'm going to be knocked down. I'm going to lay out of church. I'm going to lay my spirituality aside. And I'm just going to do what is expected. I'm going to do what would be natural. But instead, I want to be spiritual. Instead, I want to kneel down instead of knock down. I was reading that at a time when I was going through a difficulty. I preached on Stephen quite a bit. And when I came into verse number 60, the Holy Ghost of God lifted that statement from the page of God's inspired word. And put it in my heart and said to me, he kneeled down. He was not knocked down. Hallelujah. And I want to say right now, thank you, child of God, that have been through many, as we sung tonight, through many dangers, tolls, and snares. I have already come. Look what you've already come through. Look at what you've already been through. Look at the stones that has already landed in your life and hit in your life. You didn't want it. You didn't welcome it. Amen. It really did hurt. But look at you. Instead of being knocked down, you kneeled down. Amen. And you responded spiritually. spiritually instead of naturally. And as a result, here you are tonight, sitting in camp meeting with a Bible in your hand, listening to the Word of God. And I guarantee you, you're saying in your heart tonight, I'm glad I wasn't knocked down. I'm glad tonight I did not quit. I'm glad I didn't resign. I'm glad I didn't throw in the towel. I'm glad I stayed with the stuff. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. I felt something right there. Amen. Some of you, when you're in the thick of it, friend, when you're in the thick of it, you're thinking, I can't make it. You're thinking, I don't know what the outcome's going to be. But listen, you may not be moving far, and you may not be moving fast, but just keep moving. Hey, because if you'll just keep moving, there'll come a day when you'll step out of that valley. You'll step out of that fight. You'll step out of that battle. And you'll look back and you'll say, thank God I wasn't knocked down. Thank God I kneeled down for the glory of God. Amen. When the troubles come in your life, now you're going to have an option. You're going to have an option. Am I going to be knocked down? Or am I going to kneel down? Amen. Now let's deal with a few things if we could. We'll not try to preach till midnight tonight. The first thing I want to talk about tonight, number one, as we look in this verse, in these verses, back up in verse number 54, verse 54. And let me just point this out, just by reference. When Stephen was preaching his message, and as long pastors as he was preaching historical preaching, as long as he was talking about Abraham and Moses and Jacob, everything was fine. That crowd, oh yeah, amen, preach. Woo, preach, preach. Man, we got the best pastor. But when he come down to verse number 45, and the Bible said, which, and he's coming to the end of his message, which also our fathers that came after brought in with Jesus. Into the possession of the Gentiles, whom God drove out before the face of our fathers unto the days of David. And now he's starting to interject Jesus into his message. Preach all day, preacher, but just don't deal with Jesus. Yeah, don't deal with Jesus. I don't care what you do. Do it in the name of good, but just don't do it in Jesus. Watch this right here. Look at verse 51. When he come down to verse 51, you stiff-necked. Now listen, before this time, he's talking about our fathers and Moses and Abraham and all of this, Aaron and all of that. But when he come down to verse number 55 and he points that bony finger, he looks at him eyeball to eyeball and he says, ye stiff neck and uncircumcised and hard in ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the just one, of whom, here it comes now, ye have been now the betrayers and murderers. There wasn't no silver tongue there, was it? There wasn't no tiptoe through the tulips there. There was plain, easy to be understood preaching. I've seen that today. People don't mind prophetical preaching, and I'm not against that. People don't mind. You can preach about Israel all day and all night and all next week, and there's a lot of preaching there. That won't hurt nobody's feelings. They don't care. Are you listening? Amen. You can preach about historical stuff in the Bible. You can preach about all that. That won't bother. But when you start saying you, You, ye. Oh, they don't like that. Are you talking to me? You talking to me? I pray almost every time before I preach, God help me to get personal with people. Because as long as you think I'm talking to them, you won't move. As long as you think I'm talking to those that's not here. Yeah, preacher, you're getting them. Yeah, I really help you on it. Amen. Or preacher, had they been here, you'd have got them. Yeah, I've heard some of that. I mean, most of them does that shovel listening. Yeah, preacher, keep it coming on. God help those on the back row, because time it gets shoveled back and dumped back, ain't nowhere for you to shovel it. Amen. But this crowd was fired up, and this crowd said, we're going to get rid of you. We're going to shut your mouth. Amen. Listen, the first thing I want you to notice about helping you to kneel down versus... See, you don't need no help to be knocked down. That's natural. You need help on kneeling down instead of being knocked down. Is that right? Well, the first thing I just want to share, number one, is the instigation. The instigation that helps you to kneel down. What is that? What is it that verse 54 is implied here? And when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart and they gnashed on him with their teeth. What is implied right there? That Stephen was still standing where he stood. Stephen was being stoned for his stand. Stephen was not going through this because of evil doing. Stephen was not being stoned because he's a murderer and because he's a thief or a liar or a cheat. Stephen wasn't being stoned because he's an adulterer. He was being stoned because he was doing right. He was doing the will of God. I want to tell you, friend, that right there, listen now, I know it's simple, but that will help you to kneel down versus being knocked down when you realize I didn't do anything wrong to bring this about. That right there will help you. When you realize, far as I know, I've been doing the will of God. Far as I know, I've been trying to promote righteousness and holiness, and I've been trying to honor God. Well, that'll help you. But now when you know there's evil doing in your life, you're not going to kneel down. Amen. That's simple, isn't it? You go into 1 Peter chapter 3. Just write these verses down. Read them when you get home. 1 Peter 3 and verse 13 through verse number 18. Peter addresses that about suffering as an evildoer. Or if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but glorify God in this behalf. Amen. Read also when you get home, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12 through verse number 16. Again, Peter is talking about people that are suffering for righteousness' sake. Don't believe this message that's coming over the airways and out of a lot of the pulpits, that if you live for God, everything's going to be wonderful. That if you live for God, that you'll be wealthy. And that you'll be healthy. I wish that was true. Don't you, Brother Phillips? I wish that was true. But there's just one thing wrong with it. It's not true. And the greatest example to show that that is a lie and false, that is false, is the very perfect Son of God, Jesus Christ Himself, never sinned. You can't live any better than Him. And He never had, listen, the Bible said the foxes have holes. Jesus said the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests and the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay His head. Most of the things Jesus had in life, He borrowed it. The cross wasn't His. The barn wasn't His. The donkey wasn't His. Tomb wasn't His. Are you listening? About everything He used, He borrowed it. The lunch He fed the multitude with, that wasn't even His. Yeah. Are you listening? Oh, mercy. I want to tell you that what helped instigate Stephen to kneel down versus being knocked down was that he knew that he was standing for what was right and trying to honor God with his life. Number two, can I move quickly on and say this? Number two, the inspiration that will help you kneel down. Now, I'm going to tell you, you're going to need some help to kneel down instead of being knocked down. You're going to need help. And by the way, I just thought I'd let you know before you get too strong tonight. Everybody in here, including me, is not above being knocked down. To him that thinketh he stand, take heed lest he fall. Paul, in 1 Corinthians 9, Paul made it very clear that he had a fear. He had a fear of sin. He is afraid. He is scared to death of sin. He was scared to death of self. And he was scared to death of the shelf. He was, after I've preached to others, then I myself be a castaway. Did you know this? I preached on it the other night at my church. Paul never feared suffering. Even when he was told by the Holy Ghost that bonds and afflictions was going to abide him, he said as a response, none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, that I might finish my course with joy. Hey, Paul did not fear suffering. He knew when he would go to town that he would wind up in jail probably before dark. He knew that he'd be, he was beaten, snake bit, abandoned, betrayed, and you name it. But that never caused him to wobble on the shaft, not once. His greatest fear was not suffering. His greatest fear was stopping. His greatest fear was straying. Paul, in essence, his whole life would say, I had rather die than to deny. I'd rather die than to quit. I'd rather die than to stop. I'd rather for people to hear that Paul was dead than for them to hear that Paul has quit, that Paul has resigned, that Paul has thrown in the towel. And I'm looking at you, listen, my sister's right here. And I'm telling you, and I've told her before, but I tell her again, Kelly, I'd rather a million times for you to get the report tonight that your brother Barry has been killed or that he has died by the hand of whatever, than for you to get word that Barry Rackley has fell in the sea. I'm telling you. Oh, I'm telling you, Brother Joy, I can't even give that illustration without it breaking my heart, because I know that's a potential. I know that it's a potential that if I get in a situation, in a circumstance, that it is a potential that I can respond by being knocked down. I can let my spiritual life get so low. I can let my spiritual life get so weak. I can let my spiritual life get in a shape to where when I'm getting stoned, when I'm going through a circumstance where I'm going through a negative trial, that I would not respond by kneeling down, but I would respond by being knocked down. What's the inspiration? Verse 55. Now listen, verse 54, you can't deny. You can't deny verse 54. Listen, one of the worst ways you respond to your trial is to deny it. Act like it don't exist. These were not fake stones. They were real. And they really did hurt. And there were lots of them. And they were piling up. Maybe you're here tonight and you think, man, things are piling up in my life. Every way I look, it's piling up. Let me give you this, verse 55. You still with me? But he being full of the Holy Ghost... Wait a minute now. Verse 54 said that they were cut to the heart and they gnashed on him with their teeth. Well, Stephen, what's your response? But he, being full of the Holy Ghost. That lets me know you can be full of the Holy Ghost with stoners throwing stones. Kneeling down is spiritual, remember? Being knocked down is natural. Every trial that comes in your life, you have an option. Or am I going to respond naturally? Quit reading your Bible. That's responding naturally. Quit tithing. Quit going to Sunday school. Lay it out Wednesday night. Get mad at the preacher. Fall out with church members. Quit witnessing. Quit handing out tracts. That's all natural responses to your circumstance. But that's not going to help anybody. Nobody's going to be helped by that. You're not. Those around you are not. In fact, the stoners are going to go, yes, we won. But if you kneel down, you're going to show Jesus He won. Oh, the answer, ladies and gentlemen, tonight is to be spiritual. Can I make this statement tonight? Your spirituality is your survival. That's why the devil don't want you to pray and read the Word of God, go to church and live right and deal with sin in your life. He don't want you to do that. Why? Because he knows that if you've got spiritual strength, you're not going to fall. The devil knows. Are y'all listening? What I preached last night, the devil knows before he can get you wicked, he's got to get you weak. Before he can get you wayward, he's got to get you weak. Some of you tonight, if you'll be honest with yourself, and by the way, you'll never get any help from God till you get honest. As long as you strut around like a peacock, and as long as you try to fool everybody and fake everybody. And by the way, write this one down. Saved people don't have to fake it. You don't have to go to church with a fake smile and a fake countenance and a fake amen and a fake hand raise. You don't have to do that. You can fool me. And I've been fooled. But you fooling me is not helping you. Amen. You fooling yourself, it's not helping nothing. Some of you need to get honest tonight with yourself and realize you're in trouble. Why? Because you're getting weaker. And weaker and weaker and weaker. The stones are taking your joy. The stones are taking your song. The stones are taking your shout. The songs are taking you away from service and steadfastness. There's only one hope that keeps your flesh from having its way. And that is the opposition that comes from the Spirit of God. Walk this I say then. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Did he not say that? Amen. The flesh. The Bible said in that next verse, the flesh lusteth against the Spirit. And the Spirit against the flesh. The word lusteth means warreth. So that you cannot do the things, listen to this big word right here, that you would. If you take the Holy Spirit, come on church, you take the Holy Spirit's influence out of your life, you move out the Holy Spirit's power, the Holy Spirit's influence in your, the Holy Spirit's leadership in your life, and allow the Spirit, your flesh to step into the driver's seat of your life, I want to tell you, there's no telling what you would, not what you could do. But Paul said, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, so that you cannot do the things that you would. There's only one restraint to the flesh. One. Hello? One. There's only one restraint to the flesh, and the devil knows it. The only restraint to your flesh taking you to the far country and hog pen of sin is your relationship to the Holy Spirit.